This is Vatican Radio, and I am Lydia O'Kane. As we head into Holy Week, Catholics are preparing for ceremonies which will culminate with Mass on Easter Sunday. Many people will be celebrating the Lord's resurrection with family and friends. But for others, such as soldiers on duty away from home, Easter will be a time spent apart from their loved ones. Father Robert McCabe is chaplain to the Irish Forces, who participate in overseas missions with the UN in the cause of peace. He spoke to me about the comfort faith can give serving members abroad, especially at this time of year.
Now, you're chaplain to the Irish Forces, and we're coming into the Easter period, so it obviously means that many people will be away from family at this time. How do you help people cope with that? How do soldiers cope with that?
We've soldiers overseas right through the year. Sometimes, yes, in occasions like Christmas and Easter, which are very key moments for family, very key moments for a parish community in prayer. There's also occasions as well where a soldier might get news of the death of a relative or death of a colleague, and he's not able to travel home, or she's not able to travel home for her mother's funeral. Hopefully they're able to be facilitated. But in the case of a grandparent dying or some difficulty, the pastoral care and spiritual support that we offer, we'd see it as a two-sided coin. There's pastoral care for those people who are very familiar, very comfortable with their prayers, and then there's spiritual support for those who value the extra little top-up. So the fact that we gather, that the chaplain is somebody who gathers people irregardless of rank, that's an important benefit that we bring to our role, that we can pray with people who, they tell us, they're honest to God and they're honest with us about what's going on. Sometimes the conversation will start with, have you got a minute? My answer to soldiers immediately is, I don't have a minute. I've got 5 minutes. Tell me what's going on. And we'll sit down later on, if you can give it to me in 5 minutes, and then we'll unpack what's going on. We might need just to sit down and make some longer time. Otherwise, you could be sitting talking to somebody for 3 hours and they have an expectation that you're able to help them immediately. So to be able to pray with people is a privilege. Praying with them, we used to have trips to the Holy Land, which was a privilege, when to bring soldiers to Bethlehem, to bring people to Nazareth, to go on the Sea of Galilee, to be singing Silent Night in Bethlehem in the month of June. That was always a novelty for them. To be at the site of Calvary, to be at all the holy places in Jerusalem, that was a privilege. So when they're away from home, they value that cohesion that the chaplain can bring to their military community. And sometimes you'll find that when you come home then, having been chaplain to a battalion, you get requests for baptisms, you get requests for 40th birthdays, you get requests for wedding anniversaries, you get requests, somebody might have proposed when they were home on leave, they propose, they bring the engagement ring home and they propose to the girlfriend, and you've to plan the date in your diary for another military wedding. So that pastoral care, it's a privilege to be able to offer to soldiers, and a privilege to be able to meet not just with the Irish soldiers, but with the other countries who we serve with overseas, and with whom we share chaplaincy services as well.
The Irish Forces are involved a lot of the time involved in peacekeeping, which brings us back to St. Francis and the idea of peace. They're not like some other forces that are really on the front line, as it were. So that's an interesting point to make, that they're there in the service of maintaining peace.
It's maintaining peace rather than enforcing peace. That's our primary role as peacekeepers, according to government policy. And some of that involves going away from home. Soldiers sign up to going away from home. One of the funnier instances of peacekeeping, and in the light of Easter, and in the image of Pope Benedict speaking about shining a light, a shaft of light that governments can shine into society, was in Liberia a few years ago, where soldiers had, with their night vision goggles, they were able to drive through villages at night time. And drive safely through a village, through the roads. And the people were always wondering, how come these Irish soldiers can drive at night time through our, they've got good juju. This was, they were amazed at our ability to be able to arrive in a village in the dark and patrol, make sure the place was safe and secure. And then you're probably familiar with the fact that European law sometimes requests that cars have their headlights on during the day for safety reasons as well. So the people in Liberia couldn't understand the Irish are here and they are driving, the Irish soldiers are driving at night time with, they don't need their lights, and then during the daytime they're driving with their lights on. This was a real wonder, and they were speaking with their community leaders about how the Irish were bringing light into their society and how they could, by their presence, they were improving situations and making communities safe and secure. And that element certainly tied in with my experience of Pope Francis' hope for the world, that people might be able to bring that shaft of light, that energy into everything they're doing. I'm fortunate as a chaplain to be able to do that with my soul and see the joy that they have, how they share photographs and how they tell stories then when they go home to their families of how they've done some little thing. That soldiers have been on patrol in villages in Timor-Est, they've been on patrol in villages in Kosovo, in towns in Lebanon, in Bosnia, they've been on patrol in Chad, on borders between Chad and Central African Republic, making sure that refugees and internally displaced people were given some comfort of safety and security. We didn't have resources to give them, but the UN agencies were there to do that. But hopefully our presence was that little leaven, was that little energy that helped those people to some sense of security, and to allow the humanitarian workers or the actors to be the people and with governments to make the change which was necessary. And that angle of Pope Francis's address, his appeal to world leaders, that he wasn't just speaking to the Catholic Church, he was speaking to world leaders, that they have a responsibility as well to work for the vulnerable and to create the conditions that ensure peace and justice.
With regard to Easter week, will you be heading off to a country where there are Irish forces, or will you be maintaining a presence in Ireland itself?
I'll be maintaining presence in Ireland. I'll be based in Dublin for the Easter ceremonies. We'll have the ceremonies right through the Easter, and look forward to Easter Sunday morning, blessing the holy water, soldiers bringing holy water home to their houses, and maybe giving their little children the duty of keeping the holy water font topped up. At home in Ireland with central heating, the holy water font, the water evaporates very quickly. So I generally give people a little job of, if somebody's preparing for First Holy Communion, make them in charge of the holy water font and make sure it's kept topped up. So that's one of my little tricks to engage the younger people as well in their faith, and the joy as well of the Easter holy water, bringing that home is a blessing, it is indeed.
Do you find when soldiers go off to these countries that maybe some of them do have a strong faith, maybe some of them don't have a strong faith, but the fact that they are in war zones, does that almost create a feeling of, I really do need God actually, because this is a dangerous situation I'm in?
I do. I'd often be asked to bless a little medal or something for a soldier going overseas. Sometimes before soldiers would travel overseas, they form up, and quite a number would say, I'd love to celebrate confession before I go overseas. Then when you're overseas, they'll take out their wallet and they'll show you pictures of their family. And there'll be a little prayer card that they've gotten from their wife or from their mother. They'll have a little medal. It might be a medal of St. Michael, the Archangel, a good patron saint of soldiers. It might be the image of Our Lady of Perpetual Help. There'll be something there that speaks of their hope for some transcendence. And when they're there at night time, there's the phrase in the Psalms of waiting for dawn, waiting for daybreak. The soldier who is on duty right through the night, they're waiting for daybreak so that they can go off duty, so they can have their breakfast and have a rest. But all that time of waiting for the daybreak, they're looking forward to somebody coming to replace them on duty. And that's valuable time for them to think about their family, their hopes for their family when they go home, how they're going to spend time, and how they can, if they're doing great things for this community in Lebanon, if they're doing great things just by being here, what even better things they could do for their own family by their presence when they go home for their for their time on leave and their work.
Just one final question I wanted to ask you. You were talking about families there, and certainly the importance of families. Do you find that get to engage with families? Because obviously it's a worrying time for wives, mothers, fathers, relatives, when they know that a loved one is out in a country where there's conflict.
I do. One of the surprises always for me is when I'm asked, even before soldiers would travel overseas, let's say I'm expecting my baby, and to be able to say a prayer with that soldier, to be able to be with that soldier after she's had her baby and see the delight that's on her husband's face, and her husband and his hopes for his family and for his wife and newborn baby. They express those concerns very honestly to me. And as a priest, because you're in a sector ministry where the people that you're praying for, the people with whom you work, they are very honest about their needs, about their hopes. And I try to say, don't just call me for the emergency. I don't just do funerals. I don't just do crises. I want to be at the 40th birthday party. I want to be at the house blessing. I want to be at a wedding anniversary. I want to be at your children's 21st birthday parties. I don't want to be just meeting a family. And they're great. They know that I'm a bit of a party animal, that I don't look for any special attention, just the fact that I can be with their family and that they know that they're praying, that I'm praying for them. And that's even more so when you're overseas. Some soldiers, if their relatives die when they're overseas, they might travel home for the funeral, or they might send me a little message on Facebook saying, would you pop into my auntie? Their telephone connection mightn't be the best. The mobile signal mightn't be good. They mightn't be able to Skype, but if they had a few minutes at the internet cafe overseas, they'll send a little message saying, if you're over in the Navan area, if you're over in Mullingarway, would you mind popping in to this address? My aunt is living there. And they follow you on Facebook and see where you are, what you're up to. And I say, gosh, I must. So in the last few days, I've got so many requests. Say a prayer for me in Assisi. So, and people wanted me to bring back images. Even today, I've got a phone call from friends saying the teachers in my local school are asking for pictures of Pope Francis. Will you bring some back for me?